Welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I'm your co-host, Chris. And as always, I am joined by my brother and co-host, Rob. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, Rob, how are you? Hey, Rob,
how are you? Hey, Rob. Caught a time loop.
Yeah.
Nope. All right. God. I'm caught on a time loop, and I look exactly like Tom Cruise. Everything is working out.
You have that one cool tooth right down the middle.
We could have a whole podcast on Tom Cruise's dental problems. Hey, we are talking today, as promised last week, about Edge of Tomorrow, the time loop, alien invasion, Tom Cruise action blockbuster. And we're being joined by our good pal, Matt. Hey, Matt.
It's about damn time we've done this movie.
You have been asking for so long.
It's been a long time. Let's go, J Squad. Let's go.
Not sure what the J stands for, but all right.
What is J Squad? It's just in the. It's
oh, for it's the, in the movie. That's right. It's Bill Paxton's guys. So, I always forget this movie has Bill Paxton, and I get a little sad every time I see him now.
Cause I do too.
This is one of the last things he probably did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to go back to something you said, Chris. I don't know if we call it the blockbuster.
I know I threw that in there almost ironically because this movie has kind of an odd history, and I not history, but just sort of the way it unfolded. And I don't think it did very well.
I think it made money, but I think probably after, barely. Advertising and everything, it probably didn't make a ton.
Yeah, I was reading that it the budget was about $170 million, and they spent maybe $100 million on advertising. So $270-$300 or so. And then I think that only made about $370 at the box office. So.
Okay.
It's always been an interesting movie to me because I felt like they didn't know how to advertise it, particularly when you look at the like how much they spent advertising it. I don't know if they just didn't understand what they were doing or if they had no confidence in the product. I know they changed the name at various times.
Yeah, it does have like two different kind of unique titles to it,
right?
But one of them I feel is from 007. I feel like Edge of Tomorrow is a 007 movie.
It does kind of sound like a lesser James Bond.
Well, and I feel like even the Blu-ray I have, guys, I still buy physical.
So yeah, what is this format, sir? Excuse me.
On where do you put your Blu-ray, in huge words, it says live, die, repeat. And then at the very bottom, in like microscopic font, it's Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, now, because Live, Die, Repeat feels like it should just be the tagline on the poster, right?
Yeah.
And then but Edge of Tomorrow, I think nobody knew what the hell that meant. It doesn't really mean anything.
And I'll be honest, when I looked for the movie, I didn't even know what the title of the movie was. I'm like, I think it's I was confused between the two different slogans. I'm like, okay, so I'll just start with Edge of Tomorrow. That's how I found it first. But like, I was probably going to do the other one.
Yeah. Well, because I believe Live, Die, Repeat became the proper title when it was released on home video.
Really?
I might be wrong with that, but I think they tried to sort of make that. You try to make up something on DVD sales and thought, well, Edge of Tomorrow didn't work, so let's put Live, Die, Repeat in bold and make that the title again, because that might have been like the working title when they were making it, and then they went back to it. And then to complicate things more, I found out it was based on a Japanese novel.
Are you serious?
I believe the novel was titled All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
Which, again, just as vague as anything else in this mix, but
it's a famous Beatles song.
What's that?
It's a famous Beatles song, All You Need.
Sure.
All You Need Is Kill.
They could have gone with the Beatles ripoff. Instead, they went with the shampoo bottle directions.
What was I gonna? So I think part of the issue in it not making a ton of money is A, they threw so much money into it. And it's on the screen. It's an incredible looking movie. And you obviously have a big star who I'm sure got a huge paycheck. But it's based on a Japanese novel that, at least in the US, where they were hoping this movie would make a ton of money, nobody knew the novel. So it's not based on any very well-known IP. Whereas nowadays, when you see a movie with like $170 million price tag, it's going to be a big tentpole, you know, Marvel or Star Wars or DC movie.
Yeah.
So I think, which sucks. I would love to have movies like this, or, you know, you think back to like Terminator, or I mean, hell, even Avatar was one that was one of the only ones that really broke through, I think, that was an original idea.
Yeah. This movie, again, it's a time loop movie, and I think they do some really interesting things with the time loop. At least change things up from the standard Groundhog Day version of everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that made it really fun. I don't know. What do you guys think? Matt, you obviously have been a big fan of this movie for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was some funny scenes where he's, you know, throughout the movie, you know, he's running, gets run over, you know, just,
yeah, they came up with a lot of clever ways for him to die.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain times where they start from scratch, or then there are times where they just, okay, they start right back from where he was just a second ago, but, you know, a different day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just drawn on the same thing. You start from the very beginning. It was, they knew when to kind of, okay, pick up from the last scene right away, kind of start a little bit and then come back.
They did a good job with sort of the anchors that let you know where it was, like him right. Getting waking up off of the helicopter and going in and meeting the J Squad. They were all wearing a pair of pants there, sir.
They're dressed really well.
They were taking on the Abercrombie Squad. But we were ragging on that. We watched at Christmas time, we watched the Hallmark Hanukkah time loop movie this year. And it basically had like one hook to show you that the time had restarted, and they used it one time and then that was it. And I just think that this kind of movie needs that sort of thing. It's the, you know, running into Ned Ryerson on the street for Groundhog Day, things like that really, you know, drive home the time loop idea.
And I like that the time loop. So my favorite time loop movie is Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that causes the time loop, or at least that we know causes the time loop. And ultimately, to me, at the very least, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's more metaphorical and thematic, but with this I like that there's a reason that it happens, and there's kind of rules behind it, and it's got some cool world building as to why it happens and how it plays out and how they ultimately, spoilers, defeat the aliens.
Right.
I'll be honest, like, I was floored when when Emily Blunt's like, hey, find me when you reset, you know, that was just like, what, how does she know what is going on? Like,
yeah, that was a crazy thing to have somebody else involved in the time loop. Which funny thing that they use that same concept later is Palm Springs. Yeah, where you have multiple people involved in the time loop, and that's a really great movie too. But
I like
we talked about the soundtrack, Christopher Beck, that's really good.
Is it?
It's on my top 20/+10.
I was gonna say everything is on your top 20, man.
Yeah. No, he's the soundtrack's really good. I like that because usually Tom Cruise starts out as Mr. Cool Guy and ends up as Mr. Cool Guy. Mm-hmm. And I love that he starts out as a huge pussy in this.
Yeah.
Like it's a major change for him.
It really is.
And I don't know. Every time I get to the end of this movie, because he ends up being tough and figuring it out and saving the day and being a badass. But I always try and figure out, okay, where does he learn his lesson that he has to like buck up and be a good person? Cause it's just like sort of, he has to do it if he wants to live, you know? Yeah. What I mean?
Well, I think he figured it out when he pussied out and he went to the bar, and next thing you know it, the aliens were there in London.
Oh, that's true.
He's like, I'm damned. We gotta go.
Well, yeah. I think he sort of, I think it's building the relationship with Emily Blunt and sort of learning from her. I mean, obviously she teaches him how to fight and what to do and move it along with him. But I think it's sort of implied that his feelings for her kind of drive his desire to live and to say, because in the end, I think a lot of the things he does in that last few minutes are involved in saving her as well as everything. But
that's true.
It was love that guided him.
Oh. Well, I always found, you know, she is so tough. I mean, granted, she only sees him once. To her, it's a new day.
Yeah.
Every time, like, who are you? And he starts this, you know, like this little bit of like desire, but just caring for her more than, you know, it builds.
Yeah,
every
that
day.
Was interesting.
But kind of the same thing that was happening to her with this other guy. I forgot the guy's name, Mitch. I forgot his name, but. Where, and she's like, do not mention his name because it just hurt her too much.
Because he's the one that she kept seeing die over and over, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just, and like in the very end, like, I am going, I don't care if I die. I don't just, she's just full on, just tough. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't. You know, I want you to stay alive.
Well, and that's one of the interesting things I think in this movie is watching how. Every time he's about to die and she's just in training mode, it's just so casual to her that she's just like, ah, whatever, I guess I'm just going to shoot him in the head or, you know, move it on. Because I'm like, that version of her then went on with her life and lived an entire life, probably killed by aliens. And you don't really think about the people left behind in the time loop or what happens. Does that time loop, does she just end as soon as he does? Or does she finish out her life?
Yeah. Are there like endless multiverses?
Right. Yeah. Does this just keep going for those people that were left behind?
I feel like I looked this up and I think based on how the aliens work, how like I forget what they call it, but like the brain, like the mother.
The Omega, I think.
The Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how that works, it resets everything. So I took it as all of that goes back. So it's like that reality ends right there. It's not like everybody dies, like Emily Blunt isn't in pain. It's just like this snap of the fingers.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't totally know. It's an interesting question for sure.
Yeah. the Omega is an interesting, again, concept in a time loop movie that it's resetting things and it creates this sort of cat and mouse game between the Omega and Tom Cruise about who knows what the other one's doing. Mm-hmm. Because they just think that they're going to sneak up on it, but then he realizes that it's been pulling the strings the whole time. And that the whole end is very difficult to understand. It's a lot to kind of wrap your mind around who's doing what and, you know, how does he survive at the end when he blows it up? And I don't know, there's just a lot of layers to it. It's complex, but well done.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is when, again, it's that whole thing, his relationship with Emily Blunt. Granted, it's a one-sided love affair.
Like
It's
me and
I
Emily
wouldn't call
Blunt.
it. Yeah,
You and who?
is
Like me and Emily Blunt.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, if she would quit calling me, it would be great.
And when he decides to go and do that first leg of the mission by himself, he just like, you know what, I don't want you, every time we do this mission, you die. I don't know, it's granted that song is also on my top 10 list, that but like top 10, top 20, top 30, you decide. But it just shows how much he just is determined to not get her hurt and injured. And just it becomes also like what you were saying earlier, this, you know, becomes more of a military battalion. I don't know what you would call them, is you know, one man wrecking
Oh,
crew.
one man army. Yeah.
Yeah.
An army of one.
Yeah, just really, I love that. I thought it was so awesome.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say, Rob. You have some thoughts on?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the design. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they love the design of the aliens, and it's cool, but it's there's a little bit of Michael Bay, just like
Yeah.
Transformers, like there's too much going on. And it also reminds me a bit of the Sentinels from The Matrix.
Oh yeah, it really
That's a
does.
very good point.
I don't hate the look of them. I kind of like their weird, like glowing mouths. And
Okay.
it's at least, I feel like before we've talked about how it's interesting to see aliens that, there's something different about them. It's not just on two legs and it's got eyes and a mouth and like
Yeah.
its arms. It's so at least there's something different going on with this one. Written
It
by
seems like a
Christopher
bitch to
McQuarrie.
kill.
What's that, man?
I was just saying they were a bitch to kill. Like I feel like
Yeah.
they're dropping magazines just to kill one. Like there's
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
how they, you know, a little too powerful. I'm not sure. Like, but
Yeah.
still, we didn't talk about what's his face. The oh my God, the colonel, the head man, the guy from
Brendan
Braveheart.
Gleeson.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, Brendan Gleeson. He's the best.
he was awesome. Like it's, you know, just the little, the comedic thing. Like, okay, we've gotten this far. When they to get that weird transponder, like what next? Is like we haven't gone this far. Like I love that stuff.
I forgot about the transponder thing. That was a, again, a complicated, they did a good job writing in some complications for them to have to deal with. And
Yeah, it was, you know, they could only do the reset so many times before it was like,
right.
okay, you had to, it was time to move on from the reset.
Yeah. Rob, you were saying this was written by Christopher McQuarrie, is that right?
Yeah, who's become Tom Cruise's go-to guy for
Yeah.
Mission Impossibles. And did he did Jack Reacher, right?
I think he did, yeah. I
Did
don't know if
he?
he did him. Did he do them both or just the first one? I'm not sure, but
At least the first one. I've
yeah.
never actually seen those. I
You
only
haven't
saw the
seen the
first one and it
Reachers?
was fine.
Yeah.
Second one was not very good.
I know Matt's a big fan, and I should see it just to see Werner Herzog. He's always just
Yeah.
Oh, he's okay. Yeah. See the first one, don't see the second.
Okay. He's done the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, was that
Um,
the first movie they did together, Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie, or was this, I don't know if this predated Reacher or
I feel like
which
this was
one was
their,
brought them together.
I think this is their first one. Maybe not.
Okay. It would
I think
make
it is.
sense because he was not the director, just the writer, correct?
I'm looking at, oh, he wrote and produced Valkyrie, which
Oh, that
Oh
was,
yeah, he
I
was in that.
forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Eye Patch Cruise.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he trying to think of anything else. It's a little weird that they cast Tom Cruise. Like, he's so much older than Emily Blunt. He should not be running around fighting aliens on a beach. But he works. I think he has got good comic timing in this. I think he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, I wrote this down. They say they have like kind of the newsreels.
Okay.
And they say that there's been a five years of an alien advance, like through Europe. These things would have taken over the world in weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. How.
Far Jeez. Too powerful.
Yeah. So I love that. Just like, oh yeah, it's been 5 years. You see them on the beach that first day and you're like, how do they win?
Oh man. I love the scene where they rappel out of the ship onto the beach.
Yeah.
And everything is just blowing up and going chaotic.
That's
really fantastic.
Action's very like clean and easy to follow in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
have you ever seen the it was on Reddit, behind the scene, just an overhead of the battle on, and it just picture, I mean, it was almost one for one exactly, and maybe a little bit of CGI. But I mean, there's smoke, there's bombs, missiles all over the place, sand, it was amazing how much,
like how many practical effects were in this. That would
be, yeah, okay. It was awesome.
Hmm.
I was very surprised.
They're running around in those suits. And in my mind, I was like, are these like CGI? Are they like, were they in some sort of gurney and then they put they CGI'd the suits around them, but they really are running around in these suits. So yeah, they did a lot of practical stuff on physical sets, which is cool.
Now there was mention, which I hope it doesn't happen, of a sequel to this movie.
Yeah.
It's been tossed around a couple times. I feel like this is a one and done. Oh, they're back. We got blood on ourselves.
I agree. I'm sure they could find some way to do it, but it is very nicely wrapped up.
So. Yeah, and I don't think that they really made enough money for them to warrant a sequel. But
I think it's just one of those movies that's become kind of a cult hit that. I thought, because I'd read that too, Matt, that there was a possible people were pushing for a sequel. And it made me think of like, what the hell was Pacific Rim, where it was a movie that like did fine, but didn't make a ton of money. But there was like this avid fan base. And so they wound up making a sequel. But yeah, I hope they don't do that with this.
How surprised were you guys by the ending? Oh, first of all, like when he had the, obviously I knew something was going to happen, but like when he had the pins in his hands as he's underwater.
Yeah.
That was very, you know, it was
a good cool surprise. Way
to shoot that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the day reset the day before was. Oh. Just a great ending when he goes over to see Emily Blunt and just chuckles. Rita, the
angel of Verdun.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Because he gets just, covered he just in chuckles. The blood.
I just love that.
Yeah, when he blows it up, he gets covered again. Yeah. Is that right?
He got lucky. I was like, he got lucky there.
Yeah.
I had this on. Why did the Omega choose the Louvre as its hiding place? It should have chosen like a cave in the middle of Siberia or something.
That's a very good point. It was too cold.
It was really annoyed that it had to stand behind so many people to try and see the Mona Lisa. Oh man, I got nothing else really on this.
No,
it's a fun movie. Right up there in my time loop movies with Groundhog Day and Palm Springs. And I, you know, another good one that I really love is Happy Death Day. So stupid and ridiculous, but
oh yeah, that's a good
super,
one.
Super, super fun. So
I'm trying to think of other time loop movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Groundhog Day was kind of the big one, right?
Oh, like, yeah. I think it was the first. I mean, I'm sure somebody had come up with that as an idea prior to that, but that's the first one that was really in the public eye.
Have you ever seen that? It's a short, the guy's kind of like doing all these things, and his friend's like, "You are totally Groundhog Day, aren't you?" He goes, "No, yeah, I am."
I have not seen that.
It's like, use it as a verb. It's so funny. You're Groundhog Day, aren't you? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am.
Source Code. That's another one.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, no, that is good. Source Code. I love that movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's all right. Well, go watch some time loop movies.
Yeah. And Time Cop. That's, I've never seen that time loop movie, but.
Is it not?
No, but it.
No.
It's about time.
Is there a roundhouse kick in it?
I can't remember. He does the splits.
Is that the famous splits, right?
He does the splits to avoid getting electrocuted. He goes from the floor into splits onto a counter, which is a pretty good move.
Do not try this at home.
All right.
Yeah, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up. So, Matt, thank you. It was nice of you to join us. And Rob, if anybody's looking for us online, where can they do it?
We are on Facebook, where you can like us. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Two Geeks Movies. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podomatic.
Cool. Well, okay. Matt, thanks again for being here.
And thank you for finally doing this movie.
You're welcome.
Let's do it again tomorrow in honor of this movie.
That joke.
Oh, God. All right. We'll catch you next week on Two Geeks the Movies. Thanks, folks.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.